Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned. Lezeichem Nishmas Liba Gaviela Bashmuel. In the very bottom of Kuf Hamad Aleph, just to finish up some of the discussions that we had yesterday, the Gemara, because of a couple of cases that were discussed earlier on Kuf Hamad Aleph, Gemara deviated a little bit into the discussion of result versus an action. A couple of examples in the Gemara where the Gemara contrasted there's a required result, but in the meantime there's also a required action. And if you achieve the result even though you didn't do the action, so whether or not that's the satisfaction of the Ratzon Habara, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted? So one example that we saw yesterday was this mitzvah of Giluah. When you finish your Naziros, you have to shave. So you have to shave your entire head. And you can't have any hair left on your head. And the Gemara discussed, what if there were two hairs left? Two hairs is a shear of hair. You have two hairs left on your head, and you shave, but prior to shaving one of them falls out. So you have the result that you need, but you didn't have the action that was necessary. Okay, so, and the Gemara's conclusion was, mitzvah giluach ein kan, right? Seir ein kan, mitzvah giluach ein kan. You don't have hair, but at the same time, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah is more predicated on the act than it is on the result. The Amar Rava. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. We are on Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. It's the last word in the line is V'Amar. V'Amar Rava. Rava gives us another example of this type of scenario. Hari Amar Chavish Shenikvu V'Sismu Shmarim. So Hitzilua. We're the Mishnah and Olos over here. That's not all. This is Kalim. We're going to get to the mitzvah, to the Mishnah and Kalim in just a moment. The basic idea is as follows. We know that that you have mace in the house, so the mace is metame ba'ol. Mace is metame b'maga v'masa ba'ol. Three ways that mace is going to transmit its tuma. And the and Rav over here is dealing with the following scenario. Usually the cases are presented where you have two floors. Now the nature of tumas mace is that it goes up, it hits the roof, and then it spreads out and drops down over the entire area of the roof. What if there's a hole between the first floor and the second floor, and the mace is and the mace is directly underneath the hole? So there the tumah is going to go up and it's going to go through the hole and it's going to hit the second floor. And again, once it hits a roof, it's going to spread and it's going to come back and it's going to drop back down again. Okay, this is just some basics regarding tumas mace. The Mishnah over here is describing, I keep saying Mishnah because I know it's coming up. Rava over here is describing the following. You have a barrel and the barrel is sealed. And the barrel is plugging the hole. So generally speaking, if you have something which is plugging the hole, so it'll stop the tumah. However, to be fair and honest, if it's a kli, if it's a utensil that it itself is going to be makabel tumah, so it doesn't stop the tumah from going up. In other words, the general idea is, if something's makabel tumah, it's eino chotzeitz bifnei ha-tumah. So if it's able to absorb tumah, so therefore it's not going to stop the tumah from going up. So over here we're talking about a kli, it's a chavis, it's a barrel, and excuse me, and it's placed in the hole, but it's sealed, and because it's sealed, so therefore it itself is going to be impervious to tumah. It has to be kli cheres. It's going to be impervious to tumah. Therefore it's also going to block the tumah. Okay, now with all that stated, it's a lot of background just to get to the case. Now with all that stated, we're talking about chavish shenikva. So in other words, now the barrel's got a hole in it, and the hole is plugged. V'sesmua shmarim. So the sediments, in other words, there's some sort of sediment of wine on the barrel, on the bottom of the barrel, and the sediment itself is plugging up the hole, so hitzilua. So Rava says good, meaning good. The sediments are going to stop the hole, going to plug up the hole, which in turn is going to now make the barrel impervious to tumah, which then in turn is going to block the tumah from going from the first floor up to the second floor. Okay. By Rava, agaf chatzia mahu. So now, Rava asks the following question. Let's say there's an agaf, so half the hole is plugged up by some sort of lid. Right? Rashi over here in describing an agaf, lashem agufa, agaf chatzia yabatachtea shir nekev letame, uklia makabla tome inachotzis beipnea tome. Good. So Rashi tells us that there has to be a shear, there has to be a certain requisite amount of hole in order for the in order for the barrel not to be considered a sealed barrel. So you have the you have it, but then a lid is covering half of that hole. Again, so once you have once it's covered, so then it itself is not going to be mekabel tuma, and it'll stop the tuma from going up. V'agav petit chetziaha, and half of it, half the hole is sealed with a lid, and sealed, Rashi says. In other words, really sealed in. So do we say now that there is no shear nekev? In other words, we don't have the requisite amount of a hole. Dilma halo saw some shear stima. Or maybe no, maybe it's not fully sealed. So again, are we looking at now the absence of area, meaning the fact of the matter is that there was a hole and some of it's plugged up, so therefore I don't have an entire hole? Or do we say no? Do we say that you need, in order for a hole to be sealed, do I need the entirety of the hole to be sealed? It's not exactly the same as we were discussing earlier, but basically it's a similar question of result versus action. Do I need a result of just simply not a big enough hole, or do I need the action of covering the hole? Okay, that's the that's, I guess, how you would put it together. If you look at the Baam Tosfos, we're not going to go through it, but the Baam Tosfos also struggles a little bit to understand how this case parallels the previous cases of action versus result. But, okay, being that stated, so the so that is the halacha that Rava says. So Rava says the halacha that if it's covered with sediment, so then it's considered covered. The Rava then asks the question, what if half of it's sealed with a lid? Is that going to be good? Amale Ravi, Amale Ravashi, Lav Mishnah Senuhi. In response to that, he says, "Ah, come on, it's a Mishnah." Now, when I say "come on, it's a Mishnah in Kalim. So, in other words, for us Daf Yomi learners, so it's not something we see in the course of our 7.5 years of trekking through Talmud Bavli. But we don't see the Mishnah in Kalim. So, for us, you know, this has to be, you know, learning that we do. I mean, it's overtime, right? I mean, it shouldn't be overtime. It should be part of also our studies. But anyway, Zed did not, we learned in the Mishnah, Chavish Nikva. Let's say I have a barrel that has a hole in it. Visasmu Shmarim Hitzilua. Okay, so it's a little bit strange, by the way. The Mishnah and Kalim tells us exactly what Rava told us. So, in other words, once you have the Mishnah and Kalim, so you now you know. So the hole was plugged in by Shmarim, was plugged in by the by the dregs on the bottom, so it's a plug, and therefore it is impervious to Tumah. Pakaka Bizmura Ad Shiyimrach. If let's say it was plugged with vines, but it was sealed in there, so then it's going to be good. So hayu bashtaim ad sheyamarech min hatzdadim. So if it's if there were, let's say, two vines, so it has to be really sealed in. Ubein zmur lechavertam. When we say sealed in, meaning there's got to be a seal that goes from the barrel to the vine, and also sealing the two vines one to another as well. So time the marach alamarach lam. So the Gemara says now, we're talking about vines plugging up the hole. And the Mishnah in Kalim tells us that the only way the vines are going to be an acceptable plug is only if there's some sort of seal, right? There's some sort of putty that you're putting in to basically really, really connect the vines to the hole, so that really it's a hermetic seal. Meanwhile, that's the Mishnah in Kalim says that outside of that, it's not going to be a good seal. So in other words, just putting vines in that area is not going to be enough, even though, again, you're looking at the result. The result is the vines are covering up some of the hole. But meanwhile, it's not plugged in. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, now, if I have vines there, shouldn't that be good, just as good as half a seal? So the Gemara says, Amri hachi hasha. The Gemara says, but as you can imagine, they could see a very simple difference. Because there, with the vines, if I don't seal on the vines are not a natural barrier, a natural seal to that hole. So there, of course, I need some sort of putty to hold it in place.
So until he seals it, the
tumor
goes up.
Yeah, great. So agav chetzia b'midi dekai kai. However, if you're putting a lid on, so in other words, there's some sort of lid that fits on. It just happens to be I don't have the whole lid. I only have a half a lid, but it's a more natural fit on that area, and therefore, so b'midi dekai kai, the part that I put in is going to end up staying there. So the Gemara says, so I see a difference between the cases, even though I know the Mishnah Kalim, it doesn't necessarily impact the question of Rava. Amarava, the Amarava. Bottom of Kufay Amar Aleph, last two lines. Hare Amar Gezel Chametz Vavralava Pesach, Omalai Haresha Cholofanecha. Okay, something that we've gone over time and again in our Masechta is this idea where I stole something, even though the value of the item has dropped to $0, nevertheless, I return the item and I say Haresha Cholofanecha. And Chametz is our classic example, the other one is Shor Nisko. But basically, the idea is that hey, Shifas Exela, I stole what I took what I stole. Even though its value no longer represents what it once was, but it is the item that I took, and therefore I could pater myself by giving the chametz even achara pesach. Vai Rava. Now the Gemara says, okay, now that we know that, so let's ask the following question. We're on the top of Kufay Amud Beis. Nishma Lav Mahu. Let's say I do the following. Let's say I have Chamisha Valava Pesach. Fine. Meaning I stole it. I come to a shavah of a Pesach, and then comes along the owner, and he says, "You know, the bottle of scotch, right? I know you took it from me, and I know it's after Pesach, but I'd like it back. I can't explain why he wouldn't want it back. It doesn't have any value to it, but okay, I want it back." And the guy says, "Don't know what you're talking about. Not only do I not know what you're talking about, how could you accuse me of thievery? What a chutzpah." And he goes ahead and he swears that he doesn't own it. And so he makes a shvua. So mi amrinan, kevan di imigna bayi shlomei le mamona, ka kafer le, odil mahasha mi aha manach v'afra ba'alma hu, v'lo kafer le mamona. Gemara, it's such a fantastic question. Look, on one hand, right now, what is its current value? Zero. Okay, but if let's say, but he has an obligation to return it. Let's say somebody else comes and takes it from him. What is he going to have to do now? He's going to have to go into his own pocket, take out money from his own pocket, and pay back the original owner. So even though this isn't money, but it represents money. Okay, it's a really fantastic question. So the Chamisha Avalava Pesach isn't real money right now, but it certainly represents money because in its current state, all he needs to do is just give it back to the owner and say, Haresha Cholofanecha. Meanwhile, if it's stolen from him, he has to go into his pocket, take out money. So when I make a kfir, when I make a denial of such a value where it itself is not money, but it potentially could lead to money, so is this considered kfir b'mamon? Is such an entity called money so that if I deny it, I'm going to be liable to all the right to all the liabilities of denying a monetary claim? Karen, Chomish, Asham, that's the Gemara's question. So and we could see both sides of it. So the Gemara says, well, Rava leaves it off his question. Rava doesn't know. Milsa di ibai leila Rava, the Gemara says. Now, even though Rava himself didn't know the answer, but pshita leila Rava. But Rava knew, right? Rava was one generation earlier than Rava, and Rava was the Rebbe of Abai and Rava. So, but Rava knew. Dama Rava, shari ganafti. So we're now going to have a couple of halachas that are set over by Rava, and we start off with the following. Okay, you stole my ox. Okay, Reuven says to Shimon, come on, let's go. So Shimon makes a very simple defense in his case for his defense, and he says, I didn't steal it. Okay. So, but it gets more interesting. Mativo etzlecha. So Reuven says to Shimon, yeah, but you know what? Just out of curiosity, I know you're claiming you didn't steal my ox, but we're looking at my ox right now. It's on your property. So do you have any explanation for that? So, but Shimon says, sure, I have plenty of explanations. Shomer chinam ani alav. So he says, what do you mean? I'm a custodian. You asked me to watch it. So chayev. So now, look what's happening. Meaning, he's denying having stolen it. Now, he's fully admitting that that's the ox, and fully admitting that that's Reuven's ox, and it's fully admitting that it's on his property. But now what he's saying is, yeah, he says, but you asked me to watch it, and I'm just but a shomer chinam. And so he put a denial on something which is, now let's think this through. What is it right now? Obviously, it's not his ox. But in other words, what is his claim? His claim is that he's a shomer chinam. Chayev. So Rabba is saying, this is Rabba with a hey, the Rebbe of Rava. So Rabba is saying that he would be liable for making such a denial. His denial was, I didn't steal it, even though I'm telling you I have it, but my, you misunderstood. My role here is not a thief. My role over here is a shomer chinam. I'm watching it. So, but still, that's a denial. And he's going to be chayav. Why? Because consider. Because what's going to happen in the event that the item was stolen, lost or stolen? So as a shomer chinam, we know the halacha is that you're potter. You would be exempt. So basically what he's doing is he's putting himself in a role where it could, not it isn't right now, but it could result in a loss towards the original owner. So now when you deny that, that's considered a denial of money. Even though it's not current money right now, but it's certainly potential money. It's basically the same idea. So, Shomer Sacharani Alav. Now, we're basically going to go through this again and again. Meaning, the idea is that he stole it. He denies that he stole it. He steals it, and he puts himself in as a different role. So, but because every role he puts himself in gives him just a little bit of an advantage over than that of a thief. So, therefore, his denial is going to result in Shvua Sapikadam. So Shomer Sachar Ani Alav. So let's say he says, I'm a Shomer Sachar. So Chayv Shari Patarz Ma Mishvura Mesa. If the animal were to break or the animal were to die, he would be exempt in such a scenario. Shomer Sachar obviously is obligated in Gneva Vaveda, but if the animal dies on its own, he'd be Patar. Shol Ani Alav Chayv Shari Patarz Ma Mesa Machmas Malacha. Now if he says he's a Shoel, now a Shoel basically has full liability, but still a Shoel has one relief than that of a Gazlan. A Gazlan is chayv in all circumstances. When you steal something, you accept full responsibility, full liability under any circumstance. As a shoel, you're almost the same, but as a shoel, if let's say while driving the car breaks down, and it's just what's called mesa machmas malacha, meaning I didn't do anything different to the animal or to whatever I borrowed than what is normally its normal usage is, so then you would be put in such a case. So, in all these cases of Rabbah, what do you see? The Gemara spells it out. Alma. Alfagav da kaim. Since even though the item is still intact, kaven de imigna mamona ka kafar. So since if it were to be stolen, so basically now it's a denial of money. Meaning right now he's not denying money. But it could potentially lead to the denial of money. So hashtanami mamona ka kafar. Same thing over here. So therefore it's considered kfir amam. So hachanami alfagav da afra bamahu. And now we'll go back to the case of the chametz and we'll make the exact same point. The chametz is here. It's after Pesach, but it's here. And it's not worth anything. But since if the chametz were to be stolen from him, he would have to pay out of pocket for it. Mamona ma'aya, ma'aya, hashtanami mamona kakafalei. It represents real money, and so therefore it is considered kfir mamon. Okay. Adkan. So really an interesting discussion in the Gemara regarding denying money, but in other words, not real money, but a potential money. A potential loss of money, and Rava himself equivocates. Rava is very clear that even denying potential money is considered a denial of mamon, and therefore you'd be chayev. Yosef Rava v'kama l'hashmaita izve Rava amram l'Rava. So the Gemara now challenges Rava based on the following. V'kicheish ba, we go back to the Pesukim in Parshas Vayikra regarding Shvuas Apikadon, V'kicheish ba is a denial, pralamo de b'ikr. And that excludes the case where you agree to ikr, you agree to the main entity. Now, let's spell this out. What does that mean? Ketzad. So here, it's a brisa. And the brisa is spelling out a case. And the case is Shari Ganafti. So you stole my ox. V'hu amar lo ganafti. And he says, no, what are you talking about? I didn't steal your ox. Mati v'atzecha. Well, how can you say I didn't steal your ox? I'm looking at my ox right now, and it's on your property. So atam echartali. So here in the brisa, numerous explanations. Number one, you sold it to me. Atan asatali b'matani. You gave it to me as a gift. Avicha machruli, your father sold it to me. Avicha natnuli b'matani, your father gave it to me as a gift. Achar parasi ras me elav. I'm sorry. Achar parasi ras. May I love. So ba'itzli. So it ran after my animal and it just ran onto my property. So toba derech matzasi. I just found it wandering in the road. The shomer chinam ani alav. I'm a shomer chinam. Shomer sachar ani alav. I'm a shomer sachar. Shol ani alav. I'm a shoal. So all these explanations, right? You want a list of excuses. I mean, this is fantastic, right? A laundry list of excuses in terms of why does that your ox is on my property. And none of them involve me stealing the animal. Of course they didn't steal the animal. And so we have all these different explanations. Vinishba. and then he made a shvua, and then v'hoda, and afterwards he made an admission that, you know what, okay, I stole it. Okay, I'm ready to come clean. So yachli yechayev tamalomer v'ki cheshba pralamoda be'ikar. So the Torah says v'ki cheshba, you have to make a full denial, and this excludes moda be'ikar, meaning he's agreeing that the animal belongs to the other person. But in other words, what he's doing is he's putting himself in a position where, even though it's not currently a loss, but it could represent a loss. And on this, it's a b'raisa. The b'raisa says that because he's moda be'ikar, so therefore he's going to be exempt from the shvuos ha'pikadon liabilities. Okay. Obviously, after learning this b'raisa, we turn our attention back to Rabbah, and basically we look at Rabbah and say, what are you talking about? Meaning Rabbah says that that you're going to be liable on shvuos ha'pikadon both on denying money or on denying potential money. Here, all these cases are cases of potential money. I'm not denying the animal itself. The animal's yours. That's great. And I'm ready to give it back to you. What he's denying is the possibility that maybe the animal will be, again, all these different examples, right? Shomer Chinam is the easiest one to go over. He's the possibility that he identified himself as a Shomer Chinam. The animal was either going to be stolen or lost. He's going to be exempt from having to pay in such a case. So therefore, even though right now it is not a loss, but it could lead to a loss, a denial of something which leads to a loss is considered a denial according to Rabbah. And the Braisa says, no, it's not. Braisa says, it's not considered denial. A denial means you have to deny the actual money itself. So, Amar Lay, now the Braisa seems like a very strong question. The response he gives is a very sharp response. Amar Lay Tadura. Now, Tadura, Rashi says over here, is not flattering. Rashi says, Ain Lev. Okay, you don't have a heart. Okay, so, Kitanya Hi, De Kamar Lay Helech. Ki Kamina De Kaima Ba'agam. Ba'agam. So the Gemara says, you don't understand the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about where, after the exchange, so the person who is illegally, illicitly holding onto the animal says, look, no, don't stop calling me a thief, and it's yours, and here it is right away. So in other words, he's not even holding on to it anymore. In other words, dispute comes to an end real quick, because he just simply gives it right back to him. Okay, so the Gemara now is saying, in all these cases in the Braisa, no, that's what we're talking about. Right, he's giving it right back. It will not lead to any kind of loss because he's not holding on to it. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait one second. All the cases in the Braisa are Halach, really. So the Gemara says, Ata Mechartali, my moda be'ikar ika. So how does Halach work in the case of Ata Mechartali? Remember, one of the excuses given, what is my animal doing by you? And his response is, you sold it to me. Well, if his argument is he sold it to me, that explanation doesn't really fit well with the action, which is he gives it right back to him. You sold it to me, but here it is. Okay, I mean, come on. So the Gemara says, Vizil. So the Gemara says, okay, well, here's how the conversation could have gone. You sold it to me. But you know what? You sold it to me on credit, I never paid you. And now, I see that I don't really want the animal. So here, take it back. Okay. That's how that conversation could have gone. Ata nasatali, avicha nasatali, my mode be ikar ika. Now, when I say, give it to me, you gave it to me as a gift. And then I say, right, so again, the conversation is you stole it. Right, Shimon says, no, I didn't steal it, I gave it as a gift. Yeah, I'm sorry, you gave it to me as a gift, so, or your father gave it to me as a gift, and now he gives it back? It's, again, it's just strange. So the Gemara says, the Amar Lei, Amenaf David Nalach Naich Nafshei, V'lo Avdilach Shkil Terech V'zil. So the Gemara says, okay, but conversation could go like this. Really, I know that you gave it to me, or your father gave it to me, and I loved it, and I love the acceptance of the gift, but I thought by me accepting the gift, we would become the best of friends. Apparently, that's not happening. And I could support my claim that we're not the best of friends, as you're accusing me of a thief. So I see that right now this relationship is not mendable, so you know what? Yeah, you take it back. Okay. Even though he stole it, but neither here nor there. Okay, Toa Baderech Matzasi. I found it wandering in the way. So Lema Yibaylech Ladurili. So the owner says to the guy, "Well, I understand you found it wandering in the way, but you know, if you found it wandering and it wasn't yours, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Amar Vuah Deshmul, but Omer Shvuah." So again, the Gemara says, I know it was lost, I just didn't know who it belonged to. So of course, once I will realize who the owner is, I'll return it to him. But right now, I don't know who the owner is, so, okay. Adkan. Okay, that's a lot. We finished up the discussion in the Gemara, a debate between Rab and Rava, in terms of a denial of not money, but something which could lead to money. So in all these cases, Rabba is clearly of the position, and then that's the Rambam follows these positions, which is that when you deny money or potential loss of money, or potential money, in all those cases, that's considered a kofer. You are denying a monetary claim, and therefore all the liabilities are sure pekudon is going to be enforced. Gemara now is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but the connection between the upcoming Gemara and the Gemara that we just did has to do with this idea of potential money versus actual money. We are on Kuf Amud Beis. We're about two-thirds of the way down. Amar Ben Azza. Ben Azza are the first two words in the line. Amar Ben Azza, Gemar Shavuos Hain, there are three Shavuos. Now, there are more than three Shavuos, and we're not here talking about the three Shavuos Min HaTorah. There are basically three different categories of Shavuos in a particular scenario. Hikar Ba V'lo B'motzah, B'motzah V'lo Ba, Lo Ba V'lo B'motzah. Let's say I recognize either the animal but not the field. The field but not the animal. Not the animal and not the field. So, lo ba v'lo b'motzah, kushti shtaba. I'm sorry, before I go on to the Gemara. So basically what's happening is the following. This guy has information. Okay. Torah says that when you have information, i.e. testimony, so it's your requirement to go to Beis Din and to give that testimony to Beis Din. Okay, and the Torah goes on to say that if you have information, again, this is Vayikra, the end of Parshas Vayikra, Perek Hay. And the Torah says that if you have testimony and you refuse to go to court, you fail to go to court, and you don't testify that information that you know, so the Torah says Venasav Ano. Okay, you have that's something that you have to be, that you're going to be held responsible for. Okay, Gemara in Baba Kama, the sixth parak, right? Not that long ago, discussed possible financial liability by you not coming forward and testifying. And to remind ourselves what we learned back in the sixth parak, basically, even though what you did is patently wrong, and it's an issue in the Torah by not coming to court and testifying, but any financial damage that comes as a result of that's grama. Meaning that's not something that you actively took money from Reuven and Shimon or vice versa, but by your inaction, so money is not being transferred to its rightful owner, but that's grama. And so therefore, financially, you will not be on the hook. But Medina Shamayim, however, that is an Isser in the Torah, by not coming forward and testifying. Here, what he's doing, he meaning the aide, is he's explaining why it is he didn't come to court and testify. So in three different scenarios, he's saying that either I didn't know the animal, I didn't recognize the animal, or I didn't recognize the field that it was currently in, or I didn't recognize either, and that's why I didn't testify. And we're going to talk in just a moment. Is he okay, or is he in the clear, or not in the clear? And again, this question of in the clear or not in the clear has nothing to do with financial liability, because as I explained, he's not going to be financially liable. It's going to be a question of whether or not he has violated the Isser Torah of Vehulo Yagid, and he didn't testify, Venasav Ano. And, parenthetically, not parenthetically, he has to bring a carbon if he's not in the clear. So now our question is, does he or does he not need to bring a carbon of Shvuas Ha'edus? So the Gemara says, now on the third case, so he's testifying that he didn't recognize the animal and he recognized the field that it was in. So the Gemara says, okay, there, clearly there's nothing to talk about. In other words, if he sees an animal in the field and he knows nothing, so he doesn't know the animal, he doesn't know the field it's in, so then, of course, and he says, I'm really sorry I didn't testify, I just didn't know, of course he's going to get a pass. So the Gemara says, Ema ba uvemotza. So the Gemara immediately makes a correction on this, on that part of the Braisa. No, that third case is where he recognized both the animal and the field that it's in, and he knows that that's not the right animal in the right field. So, Lamai hilchasa ravami amar Rabbi Chanina leftor ushmol amar lechiyuv. So the Gemara says, now, is he going to be chayv or is he going to be pater? Okay. Now again, remember, chiyuv and patur over here does not mean his own personal financial liability. He's a witness. Does he need to bring a carbon shvua? That's the question. And so the answer is machlokas amarayim, yes or no. Uva plukta dahani tanai. And the Gemara says, now included in this is and machlokas. And machlokas goes like this. Titanya mashbia eda chad patur. Let's say I go over to one witness who I know has information. And I say, come on, go come to court. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything. And not only that, but we subpoena him. He comes to court. And he swears that he doesn't know anything. And he's one witness. So, Pater, so according to the Tanakhama, he's going to be exempt. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mechayev. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's going to be Chayev. Now, we all have to ask the obvious question.
Why?
He's one witness. Him coming to court and testifying, right, to health, as my mother would say. It's not going to do anything.
No, it does. It actually strengthens the end of the claim.
Okay, good. So the argument that we're having right now is the Gemara is going to present. That's the machlokas. So the Gemara says, now let's spell it out. So the Gemara says, look, if he's one witness and he comes to court, is he going to be able to extract money from A to B? No, of course not. But here's what he's going to do. What he's going to do is, as one witness, when you come to court on a monetary claim with one witness, so now the defendant has to defend himself. And the defendant now has to make a shvua. Now, if he makes a shvua, so then we all go home. If he doesn't make a shvua, then he's going to pay. So one witness, it is not going to result in money, but it can lead to money. And exactly how this Gemara connects with the previous Gemara. So now it's the same discussion, different application, but same discussion. This is not money, this is potential money. And the Gemara says, and that's the machlokas. So the, period. Ad kan. Okay. We now are coming back to Shavuos HaPikadon, and for the rest of today, we are going to be discussing various halachas within Shavuos HaPikadon. Amar Rav Sheshet HaKofer BeBikadon Nase Alav Gazlan V'Chai Va'Onsen. Rav Sheshet says like this. Let's say someone comes over to you and says, my shovel, right? Can I have it back? And the guy says, what shovel? I don't know what you're talking about. Now, that's a kofer. He's a denier. So, according to Rav Sheshes, once you deny that, and you have it, obviously, that already puts you in the category of a gazlan. And now, with all the liability of a gazlan is chayiv in everything. Okay. Just with the kfira alone. V'tana tuna, the Gemara says, now on this halacha of Rav Sheshes, the Gemara says, we're going to support it from a brisa. V'kichesh balamanu onesh, the Torah says they made a denial, and we know what the consequences are. Karen, Chomish, and Asham. So, Azar, Minayim, but, you know, before you punish, there needs to be a warning. Now, over here, I will tell you, just as an interesting aside. This is interesting. You know, we find throughout Shas, throughout the Gemara, that as part of the basic rules of punishment, so you need an Azar, you need a, first the Torah needs to give a warning, and then the Torah gives a punishment. There has to be two separate psukim, one identifying the Isser itself, and then the other one identifying the punishment. The basic example, the classic example, is the two partios of Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. Achrei Mos, the Torah tells you all the Arayos. In Kedoshim, the Torah tells you the punishment. Okay, so that has to be an Azar and an Onish. The interesting part over here is that we're talking about monetary law. Meaning, by monetary law, you don't normally have this construct of azhara and onish. Okay, so that in of itself is just an interesting phenomena that we're doing that over here. But over here, also consider that we're not only talking about monetary; we're talking about monetary with the question of shvua, with the question of karban asham. So it's monetary law mixed in with it a little bit of. Okay, so Azar Minayin Tamalomar Lo Sichachshu. So the Torah says you're not allowed to deny. Okay, and that's in Parshas Kedoshim. So the Gemara says My Lav La Onish Mamon. So the Gemara says now, what does that mean? It means what does the denial result in? It results in an Onish Mamon, meaning that the moment that you deny, this means that you're a gazlan. Now, if this is a correct Shan the Brisa, we have a support for Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says Lo La Onish Shvua. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Brisa is talking about Shvua. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. Hamidik Tani Tani Seifa, because when we get to the next part of the Brisa, Ishtaba Bechlad the Resha, the Lo Ishtaba Diktani Seifa. I mean, the second half of the Brisa is talking about, is introducing us to a Shvua. So if the second half of the Brisa is introducing us to a Shvua, that means that the first half of the Brisa, it was sans Shvua. So the Gemara quotes the end of the Brisa. Vinishbal Shekel Lamanu Onish, Azar Minayin, second half of the Brisa is talking about Shvua. And how do I know, where does the Torah issue a warning that you're not allowed to perjure? Tamalom, Lo Sishakru. Torah says that you're not allowed to lie. So fine. So now that we look at the two sides of the Brisa, it's clear the first half of the Brisa is talking about where there was no Shvua. And now, once again, supporting Rav Sheshes, that a Kfira by itself results, yields in you becoming a Gazlan. So Amri Idavid Dishab. But the Gemara says, no, we're going to be argumentative. The Gemara says both sides of the Brisa can be talking about where there's a Shvua. Kansha Hoda, Kansha Bau Edim. So the Gemara says the one is where you made an admission, the other one is where there were witnesses that said that you had it. So also Adam Chai Vonsim. If witnesses come, so you're going to be chai ba'onsim. So do you de chai bekeren v'chomesh v'asham. So if witnesses say that you have the stolen item, so then okay, you're a gazlan. And if you admit it on your own, so then you're going to have all the you're going to have the shvuos apikanon keren v'chomesh v'asham. Okay, so the Gemara is not saying that that's a pshat in the brisa, but it could be, and the brisa is not an absolute proof to Rav Sheshes. Okay, Meisav Rami Bar Chama. We are going to ask a question on Rav Sheshes based on a Mishnah in Shavuos. We are four lines from the bottom on Kuf Hamin Beis. U Vish Echenegdo Chasher Ala Shavua. Generally speaking, how does Shavua work? It means that someone's making a claim against me. I'm defending myself. I'm trying to keep the money on my possession. I'm the one who's making a Shavua. So generally speaking, the Shavua is on the Nit'an, on the defendant, and the Shavua potters him from paying money. Okay, that's normally how it works. What we are learning in the Mishnah Shavuos is that there's going to be an occasion where what the Chachamim are going to do is they're going to say to the Netan, really you should be making the Shavuah, but we don't trust you for reasons which we're going to articulate. And so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to flip the Shavuah. And now we're going to go to the Tohen and we're going to allow him to make a Shavuah. And in that event, if he's ready to make a Shavuah, so he'll make a Shavuah and he'll collect money. Okay, that's the Mishnah Shavuos. So, what are examples where the Beis Din is going to flip the Shavua? So, Ketzad Achas Shavuos Eidos V'Achas Shavuos Abikadon Afilo Shavuos Shav. And the Mishnah Shavuos says it's very simple, where he has a history of perjury. So when the defendant has a history of perjury, and now someone's making a claim against him, so now we'd like him to make a Shavua. The halach is he should be making a Shavua. But sorry, you have a track record, and we know not to trust you. And even Shavua Shav, even if the Shavua that he made, the false Shavua that he made, had no monetary consequences, it was just that he made a silly Shavua about something being something else, still, it shows that he does not have any regard for Shavua. And therefore he does not make it, therefore we flip the Shavua. Now the Gemara wants to know, look, the Mishnah in Shavuos is giving us examples where a person loses his credibility. So the Gemara says, Nimisa, now if Rav Sheshes is right, I have a great example that the Mishnah did not mention, which is Kfira. What if the person just simply denied? Because according to Rav Sheshes, a denial by itself makes you a Gazlan. And so why didn't the Mishnah give that example? So v'imis a b'kfir hu div soleh. So amritza to that, the Gemara's answer is hachba ma'izkinan dekai ba'agan delak fir hu desavri ishtamit nalei ad azilna u'maisin alei. So the Gemara introduces us to the following idea. Look, not all denials are the same. There are denials where I have the item in my house and I deny it. Rav Sheshes says good. When I say good, I mean just the opposite. Meaning that's a denial. And you're a Gazlan. And your status now has changed. Fine. But there's also the denial where basically all you're doing is just stalling for time, and it's obvious that you're stalling for time. You're not a bad person. You just simply, you don't want to look irresponsible. So, you know, what we would call here like a white lie. But in other words, it's the kind of lie where we're not justifying it, but we understand it. So, like, for example, the Gemara just said, let's say the animal right now is out in the swamp. And the guy comes over and he says, where's my animal? So right now I'm saying I don't have it. But really what I mean is I have it, I just don't want to look like I don't want to look like an idiot. So I'll deny it for the time being. I'll go run and I'll get it, and then I'll bring it back. We have this idea by modi b'mitzvos, right? It's the classic example where a person makes a partial admission. Where there, it's like a red flag. Like, partial admission, why aren't you admitting everything? And so the Torah makes a shvua, and the Gemara explains multiple times that over there, the reason why he's making a partial admission and he's not admitting to all of it is because, again, he doesn't want to look like an idiot. And when he gets all the money, he's going to pay it back. Okay, so here too, the Rav Sheshet says we have this idea at play over here, where if the item is not on his possession, so the only his denial is just simply a way to buy time. And the Gemara says, then you know what? It's fair. The Amar of Idi Baravin Akofer Bemelva Kashleidus. Because look, if I borrowed money and the lender comes over to me and I deny the money, so then Kashleidus, you're still not disqualified to testify in a court of law. However, Bepikadon Pasaleidus. However, if I deny a Pikadon, so I'm Pasaleidus. Now, what's the difference? Meaning, a denial is a denial. And if I lied in either case, shouldn't both cases now disqualify me? So Vahamar Ilfa, I'm sorry. The Gemara just made it, finished its, the point has been made. Meaning, and what's the difference? Then the Gemara says, and again, the Gemara's not saying this, but we have to say this now, because it's shot in the Gemara. The difference is that when it comes to money, when I borrow money, it's understood. I'm borrowing money because I need the money. And in terms of paying it back, I'll figure out a way to get the money to pay back to you. So a denial of money means that you're not a bad guy. You're just stalling and you're looking to buy time. Again, you shouldn't be denying. But we're explaining, and it's an explanation that means that you're not a bad person. It's an explanation in terms of why you're denying it. Buy a picadon. What's it? Either you have it or you don't have it. So if you deny a picadon, you're pasaleidus. Okay, this is a support. Viha amar ilfa shvua kone. Now the Gemara says, now, again, it's a challenge on Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says that the kfira by itself makes you a gazlan. The Gemara says, well, what? Let's think about what Ilfa says. Ilfa says that if you make a shvua, now shvua is well past the point of kfira. Kfira, you deny. Shvua, that's the next step. You compound it by swearing you don't have it. So now, the simple diuk in Ilfa is, I'm sorry, shvua de kanya va kfira lo kanya. So now, what we could simply say is that Ilfa and Rav Sheshet are arguing with one another, but the Gemara would like to try to bridge the gap. Ha chanami de kaima ba'agam. The Gemara says it could very well be that we're talking about where the animal is right now currently not on his possession, it's out in the swamp, and his denial is just a means of buying time. But what Ilfa now is telling us is that fine. That's if he denies it. But then once he comes to court and he swears, so then at that point in time, look, we'll extend you a little courtesy. But once you swear that you don't have it, at that point in time, you're a goslin, it's yours. Okay, and end of discussion.
Isn't there like a yeush on part of the owner that he actually requires it? Once he denies, the owner says, that's it.
I don't know. Yeush is where he lost it. Over here, he
no, but yeush is like giving up on the
degree. I know, but he believes that the person actually stole it. And he was right in this case. The Gemara says, or maybe Ilfa was saying his statement of Shvua Kone, that the oath makes you now the acquirer of the object. So the Gemara says it could be, it's understood in statement of Rav Huna Amarav. Amar Rav Huna Amarav. Now, this halacha of Rav is going to be interesting and quite frankly difficult to understand. And the Gemara is going to spend some time, meaning from here to pretty much the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is going to be discussing this halacha of Rav. And sometimes when you see the little letter over there, so that's a clue to the fact that the halacha follows like Rav. Over here, it's a little misleading. The halacha does not follow like Rav. Well, let's learn it together, and you'll see it's really hard to understand. So the Gemara says, or maybe Ilfa is in conjunction with the statement of Rav Huna Amarav, which is man li biyadacha v'hala amar en li biyadi. So the claim goes, you have money. The counterclaim is, no, I don't. And nishba, and we go to court, and I make a shvua. And then afterwards, this is, we're not talking about an admission. We're talking now about witnesses coming and verifying that yes, he had the money, pater. Rav says that the person who made the shvuah is going to be exempt. Now, as I mentioned, it's really hard to understand. Meaning because even though you made a shvuah that you don't have the money,
Okay, excellent.
I mean, that's going to be the explanation, but still, witnesses come and corroborate that you had the money. I mean, they're witnesses. I mean, al pishnayim yakum davar. Two witnesses say that you have the money. Still, what Rav is teaching us is, his opinion is that you're going to be exempt. Why? Because the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim says that once the owner has accepted, meaning accepted a shvuah, from that point going forward, lo yishalem. Kevin, and the Gemara explains, Kevin shekiblu abalam shvuah, shuv ein mishalem mamma. Once a shvuah has been accepted, so that's it, the case is closed. And as Ben pointed out, that, I mean, that's pretty much how we're going to have to understand Rav. That once you have a shvuah in court, case closed. Now, if you admit it afterwards, okay, then we have something to talk about. But if you didn't admit it afterwards, then witnesses come and want to reopen the case. The case does not reopen. This is the opinion of Rav. Gufa Amarav, when Amarav, the Gemara says, and I'm sorry, and parenthetically, that's what Ilfa could have meant when he says, Shvua is Kona. It's a little twist on what Ilfa meant, but what Ilfa meant was, is that once you make a Shvua, that's it. We're done. Case is finished. Now, Amarav, when Amarav. Now, once the Gemara has mentioned this halach of Rav, the Gemara is going to just get fascinated with it. So, Amarav, when Amarav, manali be'adach v'ala omrein li be'adach ha'klum, v'nishba v'o'edim, patr sh'nemar v'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalim, kev v'shekib l'balim shvua, shuvay me'mesham ha'mamon. Okay, so, just repeating Rav's halacha, Amarava. Mistabra milsa de Rav, b'milva de lo'otzanin. I can understand Rav if we're talking about money. Because again, the nature of a loan is, when you borrow money, it's meant to be spent. And the money that you're going to pay back is going to be new monies. Ava. Pikadon birishusei demire kai. But if we're talking about a pikadon, I can't imagine. Meaning, a pikadon doesn't go anywhere. It's an object. I can't imagine Rav would say that if somebody makes a claim against you about a pikadon, and you swear in court that you don't have it, and then Adim come and say you do have it, I can't imagine we're not going to reopen the case. That's Rav's comment on Rav. Vahe Elokim, but the Gemara says, but my God. I'm a Rav afilu b'pikadon. Meaning, it's almost like the Gemara is like incredulous. But it's unbelievable, but I'm telling you, Rav says, this halacha, that once you accept a shvuah in court, the case is closed, both by milva and by bikadon. Because again, look back at the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. And in context, the pasuk is talking about bikadon. Okay. Yes, Rav Nachman v'kamer l'hashmaita. So now the Gemara is just not going to be able to let go for the next amud of Gemara. The Gemara is not going to be not able to let go. It's fascinating. The idea is fascinating. I'm telling you, the halacha is not like Rav, meaning that the shvuah does not close the case. But right now we're in the Gemara. We're learning the shita of Rav, and the Gemara is just going to be absorbed. So here in the Braisa we have the following dialogue. Where is my pikadon? Amalei avad. So he says, sorry, I lost it. He says, I'm going to adjure you. And he says, fine, amen. Meaning amen is basically a shvuah. And then witnesses come and he says, well, you know, we know why he doesn't have the item. It's because he ate it. So mishalim is a karen, so he has to pay the principal. Now if he admits after the shvuah, so then we're in Parshas Vayikra. So then shvuah sabikadon. So what did we just learn together in the Braisa? That he swore, the shvuah was accepted, presumably it was in court, and still, when Adim come, we're reopening the case. Okay, so what is Rav going to do with that Braisa? The shvuah over here was outside of Basin, it was an informal shvuah. Amalei Achi, I'm a safe. The Gemara says, come on, look ahead in the Braisa. Hechim Pikdoni Amalei Nignav. So he says it was stolen. Mashbi Echaniyav Amar Amen Vaidem Eidem Asoshe Ganvu Mishalim Tashlomi Kevol. So here, in his claim that somebody stole it from me, so now this is classically towing Tanis Ganav. So therefore, once witnesses come along, so then he's going to have to pay Kevol. This is what we did extensively in the beginning of the 7th parak of Baba Kama. Ho Demi Atzma Mishalim Karen V'Chom Mishvashim. Now if he admits after his own shvuah, Parshas Vayikra. Shvuah Sapikadon. Itzakadacha Chutzabesin. Now, are we talking about an informal Shvuah? We can't be. Because mi ika kefal. So, because an informal Shvuah will not result in kefal. Kefal only comes about when you make a Shvuah in court. So the Sefer is talking about in court. So now he says, look, I know the weak answer to this question is the first case of the Braisa is the informal Shvuah outside of Beis Din, and the second case in the Braisa is the formal Shvuah in Beis Din. But I know that's weak. And I know that's not a good answer. So I'll tell you that both of them are going to be occurring in Beis Din. So it depends on whether or not he makes a Shvuah unprompted versus making a Shvuah prompted. Making a Shvuah unprompted, even in court, is still considered informal. Making a Shvuah prompted, that's considered formal. The first case in the Braisa is where it was an unprompted Shvuah, and the second case in the Braisa is where it's a formal Shvuah. Okay, the Gemara will come back. Well, tomorrow we'll finish up this halacha of Rav, of the Shvuah means case closed, and we'll discuss tomorrow whether we accept or do not accept the halacha of Rav, although I think I already gave it away.